WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Romans 16, 1 through 2. We got a whole bunch of names here, and I decided to look these names up, and I tell you, it was exciting when I started looking these names up. I just kind of blew over them, you know, a whole bunch of those strange names. So today, if you get bored, that's okay, because I was blessed. Start verses 1 through 2. This letter will introduce you to Phoebe. He's writing to Rome, and he's telling them who's sending this letter to them. So he's telling them, he's saying, "You Roman guys, this letter will introduce you to Phoebe, a dear sister in the Lord who has devoted herself as a servant of the church in Contrarea. I commend her to you and ask that you make her welcome in a manner worthy of God's people." Okay, church, we should always make God's children welcome in a manner worthy of God's people in all of our actions and all of our speakings and all of our relationships and all of our interactions.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Also, will you extend to her any assistance in any matters where she needs your help?
Yes. Thank you. I can use a car. Thank you.
A car?
Yes.
We'll pray about your car.
Thank you.
For she has helped a lot of people in their time of need, including me. Phoebe here is given a place of everlasting fame. Some of these people get in this Bible and they are forever have earthly fame, and I'm sure in heaven too. She's the one who carried this mighty epistle to the capital of the empire. fascinating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To think that a woman had the honor of bearing this document and that Paul trusted it to her. Surely she had guards around her because she was a very rich woman. And this document bears an immeasurable wealth of Christian doctrine. But we also know that the Holy Spirit wrote it through Paul and gave him the revelations. So there's no way a man in the mental understanding of the intellect of, at that time, could write this letter. It had to be written straight from heaven. So if God, the Holy Spirit, gave him this letter, then he's going to send angels to make sure that she gets to the appointed place with it and has protected it all of these centuries. Paul has been given the incredible honor to reveal the doctrines that the Lord brought us to himself, saved us from sin through the blood of Jesus, imparted righteousness to us through declaration. Now, until he wrote this letter, nobody's preaching this, okay? Sanctified us through the washing of the word, delivered us from sin, delivered us from the law, filled us with his Holy Spirit, gave us gifts of the Spirit, gave us ministries to edify and equip us, adopted us as sons, presented us to the world as his son, then placed his glory on us. He's also the first to reveal that we not only have the Father and the Son indwelling in us, but we can live in Christ. For in Christ we live, move, and have our being. He graciously describes Phoebe as a servant in verse 1. Jesus called himself a servant. You know, there's a doctrine out there that the people saying that they can't be servants anymore because they're a son of God.
Yes.
Well, you know, Jesus called himself a servant, and those servant songs in Isaiah, and, you know, as long as I'm a servant of God, let it be, Lord, let it be. And this word for servant is the same for deacon, diaconess. Some translation refer to her as deaconess. She was a woman of considerable means, and Phoebe means bright and radiant. Verses 3 through, 5. Greet, and the word for greet there means send peace to. When we say greet people, we're sending peace to them. We should always be sending peace, not trouble. Priscilla and Aquila greet. Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. See, you've heard me say, and it's because I have seen it by the Spirit. When you're saved, Christ comes in you. Mm-hmm. But then there's a place where we are in him. So he is identifying that Priscilla and Aquila are flowing with him, and they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also, would you greet the church that is in their house? Salute my well-beloved Epaphras. Now, I'm just going to call these words out according to whatever. If you've got a better translation, you can preach it next time you do it. Who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ? Because I did not look up the pronunciation of each one of these. Often I do. If I've got one, two or three really names, I'll look up the pronunciation. I was interested in other things last night. Or yesterday afternoon. Okay, so as we know, Priscilla and Aquila are husband and wife soul winning team, which Paul met when he first came to Corinth. He was alone and dejected when he arrived in Corinth. But soon he met these on fire Christians who took him to their home and hearts. They were Jews who had been expelled from Rome under the edict of Claudius Caesar, and had set up shop as tent makers in the city of Corinth. If you saw this movie of Paul, they went back to Rome with Paul and they were hiding out, not only from Caesar, but from the Jews. They're mentioned 3 or 4 times in the New Testament. So when we get to heaven, Priscilla and Aquila's gonna have it. I mean, they're gonna be there and with honors and crowns. So beginning with Epaphras, convert of Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. He lists a long list of people whom we do not know through our studies. When I say I don't know them, that means that through Scripture I haven't gotten to know them. 6-7, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronius and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. These men and women became the leaders and apostles of the Christian church. These are Jewish Christians, others Gentile Christians. Mm-hmm. Like his master, the apostle doesn't care whether they're male or female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile. He is no respecter of persons, nor should we. Mm-hmm. I can promise you that I have seen God use people that you wouldn't think that he would use, mm-hmm. and God would turn around and use them just because he wants to.
Yes.
Just
yes.
to confound the lies.
Right.
Yes. Andronius and Junius are kinsmen, relatives of Paul. They would belong to the tribe of Benjamin and therefore be Jews. They were saved before Paul, according to Paul. Apparently, they'd been imprisoned a number of times for their faith and thus had earned a reputation among the apostles at Judea. On one occasion, they had been imprisoned along with the apostle himself. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 11:23. 8-11. Greet Apelles, my beloved in Christ. Mm. Salute Urban, our helpers in Christ. Mm-hmm. And Stachys, my beloved. Salute Ubane, our helper in Christ. I said that already. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodium, my kinsman. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Okay, Stachys is said to have been one of the 70 disciples Jesus sent out. He eventually became the bishop of Byzantium. And you can find all this on Wikipedia. Wikipedia identifies him as an apostle. The Apostle Andrew preached in Asia Minor along the Black Sea and founded the Church of Byzantine in 30 AD, and he installed Stachys as bishop. Isn't that awesome? Don't you think that's awesome?
Mm-hmm.
You can follow, this is the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church or someone. Anyway, this information is now up on Wikipedia so that we can search it out. In verse 10, Aristobulus was also believed to be one of the original 70 disciples set out. He brought the gospel to Britain and was the first bishop of Britain. Orthodox tradition says Aristobulus, hi Kyra, come on in, was the brother of the apostle Barnabas of Jewish Cyprus. Island of Cyprus origin. Now I tell you, I'm a student of the Bible and I've read all kinds of commentaries, but I had never seen this before. That he was the brother of Barnabas.
Hmm.
Now y'all may know all this information. That's the reason why I was having such a good time.
Mm-hmm.
He accompanied, now this is Aristobulus, the Apostle Paul and Apostle Andrew on their journeys, and became the apostle, and he became the bishop of Britain. Okay, verse 11. Herodian was also one of Jesus' 70 disciples. He later became the bishop of Neopathia, which is now Iraq. Okay, but one of the reasons I got so excited about this is because the deposits that are made in these nations.
Yes.
That the Lord made these deposits in these nations, and there is a spirit-filled remnant that has to be in every single one of these nations because of this deposit that was made there. In Iraq, he was beaten to death by the Jews. but was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm getting this from history, not from the Bible, okay? I said he was said he was beaten to death, mm-hmm. and he was resurrected. And he continued to preach the gospel. We need to know more about these stories, I guess. It is believed that he was beheaded in Rome on the same day Peter was martyred. Verse 11. Narcissus was believed to be the close friend of the Emperor Claudius. Verses 12 through 16. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Must have been his cousin. No. Mm. And his mother and mine. I was that like his brother? Mm. I don't know. Salute, do you have the same mother than your brother? Okay, salute Asyncris, Fella and Herman, I'm going over those five. Salute Phologus and Julia, Neurus and his sister, Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Okay. Now, these people. Tryphena is believed to be the princess of Bosphorin, kingdom of eastern Crimea, and connected to the queen of Thrace. She was a princess. Persis was a woman from Persia. She was of Iranian background. Mm-hmm. Rufus is believed to be, I just got so excited over this. Now y'all may not get excited over this, but you know I'm wonky. But Rufus is believed. Rufus is believed to be the son of Simon of Cyrene from Libya, who helped Jesus carry his cross to Calvary.
Wow.
Paul joins five men together. And I picked some of this up out of my Passion Bible too. He researched these. But I also went to Wikipedia to confirm it. I saw this in the Passion Bible and I went to Wikipedia. Because Sunday night when we were studying out of the Passion Bible, it was so beautiful. Sandra was reading from Luke, and I thought, well, that can't be Luke. She's saying whoever wrote that had a visitation from the Lord. So I'm pulling out my Bible to make sure. So I hadn't got to the bottom of that yet, but I will. I'll keep on till I get to the bottom of that. Okay, back to these five men. They could have represented the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4:11, or they may have been leaders of house churches. This we don't know. Asceneritus is recognized by the Orthodox Church as an apostle. He became the bishop of the Church of Hyrcania, which is now Turkey. Mm-hmm. Oh, Turkey, you acting up out there with all your stuff.
Yes, that's right.
But God has his finger on you.
Yes, right.
Not only does he have his finger, he's got his hand on you.
Mm-hmm.
He sent these men into Turkey and into Asia Minor. Had them establish his church, you think he's going to let one drop of that blood go?
No.
Turkey, you better listen up. Philegon is considered to be one of the 70 disciples Jesus sent out. Isn't this awesome? That we, you know, I've never known who those 70 were. I never really searched it out. And here we're finding out that these guys were part of the 70.
Yes.
Wow.
God is so good to open things up. You know, no matter how long you read this Bible, you'll never get to the bottom of all of it. And when we get to heaven, we're still going to be learning these awesome and incredible things that are in this Bible right before our eyes that we don't know what we're talking about.
Forever.
Did I do Hermas? Oh, no, I didn't. He was one of the 70. Later became the bishop of Philopolis, which is Bulgaria. Philegus is recognized by the Orthodox Church as an apostle of Christ. It's likely that Julia was his wife, and Neurus and his sister were their children. The Orthodox Church recognizes Olympus as an apostle who was mentored by Peter and was beheaded with Peter. Mm-hmm. Now, where they get all this information, I don't know.
Peter was crucified.
Huh?
Peter was crucified.
Beheaded with Paul in Rome. Someone I was preaching on the last 3 years of Paul, whatever source I was using then, it was back from the 1600s, they thought he was beheaded with Paul in Rome, but I don't know if anybody knows. But anyway, this source says he was beheaded. Okay. I don't know about that. This is what these sources. This came from Simmons, and it also came from Wikipedia. Okay.
He died.
Which came from the Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
I don't know where Simmons got his information. I don't know that he said it. But I looked it up, and it was from the Orthodox Church. Okay. The majority of these people named in this chapter were not Jewish. And many of their names indicate they were former slaves. God blesses and anoints everyone who turns to him in faith. We hear these people saying, oh, poor is me. I had a hard time growing up. You know, when I was growing up, I had it really, really hard, and I was poor and all of this. Let me tell you, you get a hold of Jesus Christ and you are not poor. Mm-hmm. You weren't mistreated when you grew up because Jesus Christ is going to give you a new life. I grew up on a cotton farm in southeast Missouri, and I watched my daddy eke out a living driving a tractor and plowing grain and planting cotton and gathering cotton. And he eked out a living for his family.
Right.
And he taught us how to work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there is no one on this place that no matter how poor you were born or how hard your circumstances were, that in the United States of America, that you cannot come into this place and you cannot be who God called you to be. But you got to connect with Jesus Christ, his purpose and his plan for your life. You have to come into Jesus and come up under him. And it doesn't matter if you're a slave. It doesn't matter if you're a poor person on a farm. It doesn't matter if you were cotton picking. Let me tell you, you will become successful in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And Christians, this is our message.
Yeah.
And we do not salvage. We do not rescue everyone who needs help. There is times when we do, and this church does. We help. Mm-hmm. Yes. We help plenty. This church, with the list that we get, that we've helped, is endless. But you don't rescue people continuously.
Yes.
Because you're making them crippled.
That's right. Yes.
And all these people that are on, that the government is supporting, goes from generation to generation to generation. But I tell you what, if they get saved, and if they follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to raise them up to be successful. Okay, now I got up. Where did I? How did I get up on that?
And someday we may have money.
Sister Helen's here. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We're so glad to have her. Y'all had a good time at that. Sorry, I couldn't get there, but. Y'all had a good time. Brother Falou sent me a text that those white people on that fourth row, on that second row, I was talking about Clay Sunmore.
That was his son.
That was a set up deal.
Seriously.
I did not know this.
Yes, you were working in the spirit that day. Deep in the.
So I was blessed. I got to meet that man. I'm sorry I didn't meet him that night because it was real crowded and I'm headed for the door because it was getting kind of late. And I didn't meet him. And you know, being a woman, I wait for men to come to me. I don't usually go up to men. Just kind of, that was the way I was raised, in case any of you women weren't raised that way. I still think it's a good idea.
It's a new year, honey.
Okay, we're going through these names in the 16th chapter of, and almost every one of them, not every single one of them, were part of the 70 disciples. Church history, I looked it up, and they're part, they're Jesus' original 70. So exciting to me. Okay. No other chapter of the New Testament shows Paul's affection and love for his friends as does this one. One of the precious things about this list of people is that even though they're unknown to us, yet church history records their great exploits for Christianity. We should know, and I'm sure these people who spend a lifetime studying this, they know it, but we don't hear enough about it, perhaps. They've been immortalized because of Paul's love for them, but not only Paul's love, but because of Jesus' love. It makes us think of the Lamb's Book of Life, where the nobodies of this world are listed because of Jesus' love for us. There is a no nobody in Christ Jesus. There's no such thing as a nobody in Christ Jesus. Last night I had a dream. I hadn't quite figured it out. I hadn't really meant to tell you. I was sitting at a table talking to a preacher. I guess it really can't tell you who that preacher was, but it might represent many preachers. I'm not sure. And I said to them, there is a pecking order in your church. You're going to have to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a pecking order in this church, just so y'all know. Better not be. I better not catch that going on. Amen? Because there are no nobodies.
That's good.
There are no nobodies because of Jesus' love for us.
Amen.
And I have seen God use nobodies in powerful words and powerful ways, and I stand with my mouth hanging open. The saintly kiss of the early church was not as we think of kissing today. It was like a French general bestowing honor on a distinguished soldier. The Christian kiss was a Jewish custom. It was a seal of pure affection between brothers, a very precious thing. Today, our custom is to give one another hugs, and that's nice too. I think we, I don't know if it suits us better, huh? We're not used to this kid thing.
That'll work.
And you remember the kiss of betrayal when Judas kissed the Lord the night.
Yes.
Yeah, so watch those kisses, y'all. Yeah. Be careful about those kisses.
I think we know the difference.
Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Carolyn Venable was talking about an interaction she had with a Christian in Austin, Texas, and we know Austin people are different. Just guys that are out there in Austin, listen up. But anyway, the doctrine the doctrine was off. And I made the comment, that's the reason why we hold, I preach this word, what it says, exactly what it says, every single word, because somebody's got to hold the line with the word of God as it is written. And if we don't hold the line, there are so many wild doctrines all over Houston, Texas, anyway, let me get back here. We're talking about a troublemaker, aren't we? It's easy to spot a troublemaker. I know them. What? Comes out of their mouth. They will try to stir trouble and cause division in the churches. Satan is always behind the troublemaker.
Yes.
Don't show mercy to a troublemaker. Be nice. Be nice. Be polite and keep walking. Observe Paul's instructions for handling these deceivers. He does not say argue and debate with them.
Hmm.
Nor to kick them out of the fellowship even. Right. Mm-hmm. Neither were they to be punished in any way.
Right.
Because if you do, if you get them, then they're really going to attack you and cause all kinds of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The best way to do them is mark them, okay, troublemaker, and but not give them any place or authority in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What if they take that authority?
Mm-hmm. Okay, then the pastor's place, they're usurping authority, that's a usurper's
yes.
pastor's place to put that into. Before.
Yes. Yes.
False teachers and wolves can do no harm if no one pays any attention to them or gives them any power or gives them any place.
Yes.
Now this church, you have been trained to see wolves. You have been trained to know the voice of the troublemakers.
Mm.
And most of you can spot them by the Spirit coming in the door.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. But we don't want to run it. We want to get rid of the spirit. We don't want to get rid of the person.
Right.
Right.
But you don't give them any place.
Yes.
False teachers thrive on contention. Mm. That's why I do not debate the word of God.
Mm.
This is one of the things that happened in the latter rain. I know these guys. Okay?
Mm.
I know what my conceive is. Okay, they received these incredible revelations from God.
Mm.
That was so awesome and incredible. And they presented it to the Pentecostal church. And the Pentecostal church did not receive them. And they became bitter and angry.
Mm.
And instead of just standing up and preaching what God says,
mm.
and let it fall where it falls,
mm.
and not worry that Dr. Kakadiak cares about what I say or what I don't say,
mm-hmm.
or that Dr. Kakadiak thinks I'm smart, or that Dr. Kakadiak thinks that I heard from God, you preach what God told you to say on the Word of God, and you're not going to become bitter and angry because mm-hmm. Dr. Kakadiak did not receive what you said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
Amen.
Mm.
Jim wants to know
who Dr. Kakadiak is. He's the smartest man around. Dr. Kakadiak is the smartest man in the group. He's going to discern truth.
How about the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab?
Yeah. Okay, let's move right along here before I get in trouble. Dr. Kakadiak knows it all. And he would tell you
yes.
what God has revealed him is the absolute total gospel.
Yes.
That's who Dr. Kakadiak is.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to them, but keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't permit them to seduce you into the trap of arguing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I posted, I think it was the one I preached on the latter rank. Anyway, some guy got a hold of it. Whichever one I posted were, maybe it was the one I preached on Paul. It was Paul last week when I preached on Paul. I started out with the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit affirmed his ministry.
Mm.
And I gave the scripture
mm.
where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit mm. affirmed him. So some oneness, a oneness
mm-hmm.
man comes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, now I gave him the scripture in Romans. Okay, that's the one I had posted. This is the one he was arguing with. Okay, so he comes back to me and he says, there is no such thing as the Trinity. There is only one God.
Oneness.
And there is no such thing as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is only Jesus Christ. So I didn't argue with the man. I put in there 1 Corinthians 12, I think it's, 13 through 14. Okay, it says the same, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I didn't argue with him. And I hadn't heard back, and he probably unfriended me.
So
Somebody's been talking to him that's Jehovah's Witness.
No, UPC.
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 Oh.
UPC.
Yeah. Oh.
Been there. Know that.
Okay.
What's UPC?
But don't let them seduce you. My point is, don't let them seduce you into their traps. I mentioned when I was there, I just keep preaching. Take me or leave me. You know? Many today follow every wind of doctrine. And there are so many winds of doctrines out there that you can hear anything you want to hear. If you don't like this wind of doctrine, go over here, they got another one.
That's right.
Yes.
The Christian's only security against false teachers is learning and knowing the Word of God.
Amen.
And knowing the Holy Spirit. A knowledgeable Christian easily recognizes a deceiver by his message, his speaking. What will come out of their mouth?
Right.
This church knows there's three voices. There's the voice of Satan, there's the voice of the flesh, and the voice of God. And when people speak, you listen to hear which voice is speaking. You be polite to the voice of flesh, resist the voice of Satan, and adhere to the voice of God.
Amen.
Yes. And also their mode of living. Are they living two lives? Are they living double lives?
Yes. Yes.
If they're living, okay, a preacher could be sitting up here, I'm going to come on with.
Yes, yes.
I'm going, I might as well go.
Amen.
Okay, go up here on Sunday morning and preach the gospel. But then they're running a business on the side. And that business they're running on the side is right, it's under the table and it's not up above.
Right. Yes.
You can't live a double life.
Amen.
If God called you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, He is going to support you to preach that gospel. Amen. You're not going to have to run your business. Now, Paul was a tip maker. And I'm not going to come against that. But I'm talking about running under the table business.
Yes. Yes.
Casino.
Pastor Carolyn, how about donations? Which is over and above giving to the church.
I believe that every minister doesn't have to beg.
Amen.
We're not beggars.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Yeah.
My God is not a beggar.
At all.
He owns all the cattle on a thousand hills.
Yes.
All the gold belongs to Him.
Yes.
He called me to preach the gospel. He's going to cause me to beg.
Yes. No.
God shall supply.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. But now, these preachers may be called to preach the gospel, but they don't have that faith.
Yes.
Okay. We see churches that put their children out on the street with buckets to raise money for their trips. That belongs to the church. Nothing wrong with them having a job to raise the money, but standing out on a street, you've got your teenagers teaching them how to beg.
And we shouldn't be spending too much time with the opposite sex that we're not married to.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Where in the world am I? Okay.
It is.
All right.
Yes, we are.
18. Did I do 18, Henry? You keep
going. No, that's where you started. 18. Right before that.
Those who teach us should have righteousness, peace, and joy evident in their life. They will be preaching from peace, not from conflict. They will be preaching from a realm of peace.
Amen.
As we're coming into the last days, this warning is more urgent than ever.
Yes.
We're told precisely that false teachers will arise and deceive many. Their words will even be backed by supernatural signs.
Well,
Church, you've got to discern. These people are not serving Christ. Their master is their own belly, or whatever lust they are. And what they really want is to advance their own interests, not those of the Lord. They're my ministry. You don't have a ministry. You don't have a my ministry. It's his ministry flowing through you, and it doesn't belong to you. They're clever with flattering words and know how to put forth their ideas in spiritual phrases that sound good to gullible and unsuspecting Christians. And there are many gullible Christians out there. They're not even, they don't know any better. We learn that the false teachers not only taught doctrines contrary to those of Apostle Paul, but they were motivated out of self-interest. They were indifferent to the Lordship of Christ, seeing in the gospel a chance to build a reputation for themselves and make money. These people are not thinking of the day when they will stand before the Lord to give an account of their stewardship on earth. At 78, I figure I'm closer to heaven than I am to be worried about what people think about me. I need to be getting it right in heaven. I'm not worried about what you think about me.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
The religion simply is a way of getting ahead in this world. It is a business and a livelihood. Now we all gotta live, and you gotta support the church. You gotta support the missionaries. You gotta support the evangelists. You gotta support ministries. You gotta sometimes support yourself. You gotta support yourself. If you have a family, you got to support your family. All this is necessary. And when God calls you to pastor a church, you take that on. You help the poor. If there's anybody in your church that needs anything, you better help them.
That's right.
If the missionaries come in, you better help them. If you're called a pastor. Help me, Jesus. 19 through 20. Everybody in this world, we're doing okay on time, has heard of your loyalty to the gospel, and you can't imagine how this thrills me. At the same time, though, I want you to become shrewd in goodness and totally unsophisticated when it comes to doing evil. Now, I don't want to hear how bad you were. Do not come and tell me how bad you were and how God had to stretch himself to save you. I want to hear what God has done in you now. Not what all the mess you were in, because you're glorifying the evil. There have been so many teenagers that God would get them saved. And the church would say, oh, I've got a testimony here. This teenager is the most popular teenager in school. I've seen it happen. I'm talking to you about what I know. This is the most popular teenager school, and we got him saved. We're going to put him up here on the platform, and we're going to let him give his testimony.
Yes.
They set him up like bait. Satan's coming at him, and the next day he falls.
Yes.
I'm preaching good today. Set them up.
That's why novice doesn't need responsibility.
That's right. Be unsophisticated when it comes to doing evil. Do this and the God of peace will bring Satan under your feet directly. I don't care if you were the baddest thing in town when you were growing up. It won't impress me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Okay, and then verse 21 through 24. Timothy, my co-worker, sends you his greetings. So do Lucas and Jason and Sosipater, fellow Jews of mine. I, Tertius, one who has written this letter for Paul, send you my greetings in the Lord. Greetings also from Gaius, my host, and the congregation which meets here in his house. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus send you their greeting too. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Jason also appears in Acts 17 when he opened his home to Paul, Silas, and Timothy while they were in Thessalonica. Jason was one of the 70 disciples sent out by Jesus and was appointed to the bishop of Tarsus by Paul. Tertius, the copyist for Paul, was also one of the 70 disciples of Jesus. He became the bishop of Iconium after Sosipater and was eventually martyred. Erastus was a political appointee who was undoubtedly of a high social status in the city of Corinth. His duties would have included being the treasurer of the city. He too was one of the 70 disciples of Jesus and a deacon of the church in Jerusalem and later in Panias. Quartus was one of the 70. Isn't this awesome? He became the bishop of Beirut. Valamoric wrote that Quartus suffered greatly for his faith and won many converts to Christ through his ministry. Their name just casually mentioned in the book of Romans. 25 through 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. Let me read that to you again. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. This mystery was given to Paul in the book of Romans. It was given to him supernaturally. It was given to him by being raptured into heaven, I'm sure, because he was raptured into heaven many times. And it was given to him, and man had never heard anything like this until Paul preached it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But now it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, for the obedience of faith, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ for us. God had long kept to himself his plan of salvation. But now he has acted and disclosed it in the work of Jesus Christ. Paul was commissioned with this gospel by God himself and instructed to make the divine plan known throughout the world, commanding men to trust and obey the one and only God. Supporting him in this work, because he said in there, and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, are the Old Testament scriptures, unsealed. Unsealed. All Old Testament scriptures were unsealed in Jesus Christ. And so they stood and they said, who can open the seals? And there is no one who could open the seals but the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ unsealed the whole Old Testament. And Paul was given this to help unseal it so that we might know and understand the fullness of the Old Testament is in Christ Jesus. The fullness of the Old Testament is inside of us, and we are inside of him.
Amen.
Now they'll lock you up today for saying some things. You can imagine why they tried to kill him. I believe it. believe it. I not only believe it, I am in it.
Can I give you another word from the Old Testament?
Okay, would you wait till I finish this? Okay, wait till I finish.
Sure.
The planet of eternal ages past has burst out into time, the present time. The eternal God reveals himself to men through the living Christ. He's alive. He's alive in you. We got to live like it. We got to move like it. We got to apprehend that for which we've been apprehended. We have to allow the living Christ to move through us. It is the church's privilege to share in God's eternal praise. And these truths were taught to Paul by revelation. Says so in Ephesians 3, 3 and 4. And just as God raised Moses to reveal the law to Israel, he raised up Paul to explain this mystery to the world. These startling truths are that God's purpose is to take from among sinful men those who loved him and by a miracle transform them into his son. No one dared think that God would do this by imparting himself into a man. Mm-hmm. Who could think such a thing? Mm-hmm. On top of that, to spend eternity with them, that would be us, and then raise us up to be sons of God. Paul not only confirms the mystery of Christ in us, but he reveals the mystery that we are to be in Christ. In this letter. In Romans. Until Paul stated these truths in plain language, the best that man could understand was that they could secure forgiveness for their sins on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice. I think he wrote Romans, I didn't write that down, I think it was 39 years after Pentecost. Beyond that, no wondering that sonship meant inheriting God's own life. Even though Jesus spoke of it him often, they still didn't get it. People still don't get it. We're to live, move, and have our being in him. Mm. It's one thing for us to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. I say it often, but it's quite enough to be in Christ. Mm-hmm. Live and move and have our being in the glory of God. The term in Christ is used by Paul and it is not used until the book of Acts. It's used one time, but not that they had heard that Paul was preaching a gospel in Christ. But then in the book of Romans, Paul begins to use the term in Christ. It's used by Paul, Philemon, and Peter 76 times in the New Testament. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We reckon ourselves dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.